What is going on, Bills Mafia? It is your host, AJ Sabalski. Today, joined by no one other than Jay Spence from Buffalo Rumblings. Again, a great guy, great follow on Twitter. Give him a follow at Jay Spence the King. We have a lot to talk about today. Bills, Jags, obviously a little bit of a jet lag per se for the Bills in London. Slow start, came out sloppy. The offense could never really get its footing. They had drops, penalties, kind of a recipe that I don't say I've seen it a lot, but when the Bills do lose, it kind of seems something that occurs frequently. But we got a lot to talk about today. Kyer Elam, obviously the injury front, a lot to discuss, 12 personnel usage. There's a lot of things going on. But first, Jay Spence, how you doing today? And just your overall feeling of kind of the game yesterday.
Hey, man. Well, first, thanks for having me, man. I'm a repeat guest now. This is my second time around, so I can call myself a friend of the show. So thank you for that. And then but honestly, yesterday after the game, I was a little like, I think I was more annoyed than upset or anything like that. Normally I'm upset after a Bills loss, but yesterday I think I was more annoyed, and I feel like the team is still going to be fine. I think we're in a good direction. I know what injuries we had. We're going to talk about them, so I won't jump too far ahead, but the defense is beat up. I get it. But look, man, you still got Josh Allen on the offense. You still have Stephon Diggs. And believe it or not, I know yesterday it may not have looked like it with some holding calls here or there, but we still have – I'm actually impressed this year with how well our offensive line has played as well. So I think the only thing that I'm actually really concerned with is just how we're going to replace the guys that are injured. Because it's not like you're just replacing, I don't want to – disrespect anybody, but you're not replacing lower level guys. You're replacing like star quality players. Like Trey White is your cornerback one. Matt Milano is your main linebacker. Like he's your linebacker. And Daquan Jones, I know we got Puna Ford. I think Puna's going to do well, but it's same thing. Like we're replacing guys that are valuable pieces to this team.
100%. I'm going to go through the injuries for all of you. Today, Sean McDermott spoke to the media. Matt Milano, knee leg, requires surgery, likely out for the year, as well as Daquan Jones, pec injury. It's a torn pec that will also require surgery. He could return for a possible late playoff push. But again, both injuries for this foreseeable future, they're going to be out a while. The defense suffering two major losses yesterday, and then Trey White a couple of weeks ago. Christian Benford, Shaq Lawson, and Greg Rousseau are all day-to-day and improving. And then Dawson Knox dealing with a wrist injury, and Dalton Kincaid is in the concussion protocol. So those guys, again, like the injuries are just piling up for this team, it feels like. And you're kind of in that same, mindset of last year where it just felt like the injuries, they couldn't get out of their own way with them. And it was just kind of something that was out of their control. But Jay Spence, I'll ask you first, and then I'll follow up. With all these injuries piling up, all the names I just mentioned, obviously Benford, Lawson, Rousseau, day-to-day and improving is a good sign. What does this mean for the Bills moving forward, and can they still be a top contender in the AFC?
Well, I think that they can still be a top contender because we've seen them play good defense with, less talent in certain areas. And we've seen – so, like, even last season, with Micah Hyde being out and Jordan Poyer literally – being half of who he was last season, playing on a torn ligament on his leg. He played with a torn ligament in his elbow, not to mention the ribs and all that other stuff. So we played with a beat up defense last year, and we still were a top unit. I think what we're seeing from Sean McDermott this year is that he's creative and he's aggressive on defense in a way that we haven't seen as Bills fans with this unit. So I think he's going to figure some things out. Getting Von back was at the right time. Hopefully he can remain healthy for the remainder of the year. But I think with those injuries, what I would do, I'm not Brandon Bean. There's a reason why I'm doing the podcast. I say that every time. But if I was Brandon Bean, I'm going all in, man. Like you, because again, the people that you lost, this isn't losing depth role players. This isn't losing, just a piece. You're losing major pieces that you felt like were going to be a part of the reason you would win a Super Bowl this year. So for me, I'm not a fan of the Josh Norman signing. I'm not a fan of bringing in a guy that wasn't good for your team in 2020. And now you have him bring it, you brought him back. I'm not a fan of that. I think, there's some young guys on some teams that might be selling. I would call around, see what I could do with some draft picks. I would call Christian Kirksey. I would call Kirk back. Like, hey, bro, I know you retired. I know what you said in your post. Hey, Matt's out. What's up? I would call real quick. Circle the block on that. And then but there's a couple other areas that I would also talk about as well, not just the linebacker and cornerback position.
Yeah, and I'll follow up with this. This conversation is interesting because you can obviously state right off the get-go that Matt Milano is irreplaceable, 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, best player on this defense, probably the most valuable piece of this defense for a long time. DaQuan Jones playing the best football of his career, not only the best one tech on the Bills, but one of the best one techs in the NFL, playing at an elite level. And then obviously Trey Day was getting back to form, had a great game against the Commanders mm-hmm. before tearing that ACL injury. So what it says to me is this. You have an offense that averages 31 points a game, just over that. It comes down to Josh Allen. And I know that's kind of been the conversation, and that's always what it's been. It's you go as far as Josh Allen can take you. But I'm not trying to compare, and they're not the same player, but Patrick Mahomes has taken teams with mediocre defenses that are good situationally and have been able to overcome that and win football games and win the big ones. The question is, and Josh Allen is great, he's elite, he's talented, but the question for me is with this team, they're going to be great. They're going to be fine on defense. Obviously, they lost major pieces, but they have a great defensive mind, and they still have a lot of all-pro talent on that defense. Will the offense be able to be consistent enough week in, week out to sustain blows? You know, your offense is 100% healthy, Jay Spence. Like, it's not like they're – yes, your defense lost a lot of pieces, but that offense has everybody. And I know maybe they'll probably have some bumps and bruises along the way. Maybe they lose some guys. But right now in the present, this offense is 100%. And for the Bills to get to where they want to be, it was up to Josh Allen. It always has been, and it always will be. And these injuries, again, suck, but you still have Josh Allen, and nothing really has changed in that aspect.
Yeah, at all. And so to your point about the offense being consistent, look, yesterday Gabe Davis looked good. He had 100 yards. He had another game, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it the...
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Was it the Raiders game that he also had a pretty good game? Yeah, I know he's basically been scoring.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the game. But he's been scoring almost every week anyway. He scores a touchdown, but I need more out of him than just a touchdown every week. If I can get a game like yesterday, it doesn't have to be 100 yards. I know that's asking for a lot, but I do need consistency from Gabe Davis. But after Gabe Davis, man, because you're talking Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, after that, the rest of the offense needs to show up. I've been so proud of James Cook all season. Yesterday, five carries for -4 yards or something like, or -2 yards.
Negative four.
Inexcusable. You can't do it like that. You just put up Reggie Bush numbers. You cannot do that. And then, you know, if you want to get to it, at some point we need to figure out why Khalil Shakir is holding a roster spot if we're only going to use him once or twice for a game. If we're not going to put him in the offense, if we're not going to put him in a situation where his skill set is best used, if we're not going to use him as a wide receiver with sure hands, that's why everybody was excited for him coming out of college. He could catch the ball. If we're not going to do that, then why are we holding a roster spot for a guy that I just like right now? I would rather see Isabella, or I don't know, make a trade for Jerry Jeudy, or I don't know. There's several things that I would like to see happen, but the reason why I'm even still talking about wide receivers, or why I'm still talking about anything else, is because after Gabe Davis after Diggs, Davis played well yesterday and he played well against the Raiders. But after Diggs, consistently every single week, we don't have people taking pressure off of Josh Allen. Go and get a Jerry Jeudy, or go and get there's several different teams. And shout out to Chris here. He says he totally agrees about going all in. The 49ers traded for McCaffrey in October of 22, and they gave up a second, third, fourth, and a fifth round. It was a bold move. He's right. But guess what? Right now, they're looking like the best team in football. Before you and I went live here, AJ, we both said, like, hey, they're really the best team, and I don't think it's close. I think I'm going to be rooting for them come February if the Bills don't make the Super Bowl. I think they'll be there. So I need to see Brandon Bean do the same thing that the 49ers did, or even the Rams. I'm not saying sell out to where you have no first-round picks for 3 years. I'm saying right now you have obvious holes in a year that you feel like you can win. And if you don't plug those holes up, it's going to be a long – this offseason – it will be a long offseason, AJ. Long offseason.
Yeah, it will be for sure. Yeah, and I want to – you know, you're 100% on all those points. Maybe they do go all in. I'm still concerned with the cap situation. That's a concern for me. But again, Jerry Jeudy's a cheaper contract. There are guys out there that I'm sure they're checking in on. They always do. They want to go in-house first, like McDermott always reiterates. He reiterated that today. But again, there's always some possible moves. Brandon Bean's always looking around. So I would not be shocked if they tried to do something. I want to get back to Josh Allen, his performance yesterday against the Jaguars, moving on here. 27-40, 359 yards, 3 total touchdowns and 1 interception. Jay Spence, what do you make of it? Because again, like, he had 360, probably like 370 plus total yards and 3 total touchdowns with the turnover. A lot of those yards I felt like were those, you know, late drives in the fourth quarter trying to play catch up. How do you feel about Josh Allen and his performance yesterday?
Josh Allen played bad. And you can look at the stats. You can say, oh, he threw for more than 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. He ran one in, 14 yards on the ground. Yeah, he did. But guess what? We scored 7 points in the first or the second quarter. Didn't score any in the first. We didn't score any in the third quarter. And then you score 14 points in the fourth quarter when it's just a little bit too late. And I understand, as Bills fans, we love Josh Allen. I say it every week. After the game, win or loss, I always include in my points, my bullet points and what I think about the game. I love you, Josh. It's always number 7 or 8. It's the last point because I love him. But the point is, I also have to love him enough to be honest about how bad he played. When you're a top 3 quarterback in the league, you can't have these 3 and outs back to back. You know, you can't. When you're a top 3 quarterback in the league, you can't. I get it. Bills Mafia loves the term or the phrase arm punt. I don't like it. I don't like it. I understand. Okay, it's like a punt because we threw it down there and they're within the 10. We have a guy. We have a guy that punts the ball. And then we have a guy that throws the ball. I prefer for Josh not to throw interceptions, regardless if it's on third or fourth down. I don't care. So with all that being said, Josh Allen did not play well. He put the yards together. And if you look at the stats only, you'll say, oh, man, the defense failed Josh. That's not what happened. The defense played very well, even with the injuries. Now, they gave up 474 yards, but that's with those injuries. When you're talking about Calvin Ridley, we can talk about Calvin later. Josh has to be better on offense, just in this period. You have to be the guy that we saw from the last 3 weeks. Not this game, and not week one. I want the Josh Allen from those 3 weeks in between, because he was taking what the defense gave him. He was checking down. This dude, yesterday, man, Josh was – he was just off. There was one play, and the one play that I think Dawson Knox actually injured his wrist on, it was like a little bit of an overthrow. He jumped up and extended to catch it, and when he fell down awkwardly, I think that's when he injured his wrist. But, you know, I beat up on Knox earlier. You know, he has 11 catches on the year, $52 million contract. But it doesn't matter if he's not catching the balls if Josh Allen is throwing it 4 yards above his head. So, yeah, he played bad, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna disagree with you. Like, I agree that the offense was the reason, 100%. Like, the offense was a huge reason. It was the reason, actually, for the loss. You can totally blame the offense. I think there was a multitude of things going on. Again, the run game we alluded to. You got zero rhythm from your running game. You were relying on Josh heavily. You know, James Cook, again, negative yards. Damien Harris, 3 carries for 13 yards. Latavius Murray, 2 for 6. They ran the ball 10 times. And then on, you know, penalties. There's some crucial penalties. Gabe Davis had a drop to move the chains. Dawson Knox, you could say he could have came down with that ball. So, again, Josh Allen I thought was fine. Again, too little too late. And I think the offense could just never get out of their own way. And, again, it just felt like that game, like I've always seen from this offense, when they do struggle, it's like there's moments and they move the ball and then the holding penalty on a guard, or you have, you know, some penalty that happens and it sets them back, or, you know, Josh doesn't make the right play or something like that. So, again, I think in totality, Ken Dorsey could have been better. Josh could have been better. And, you know, I think the whole offense could have been better. So, yeah, that's kind of my point. And moving on to the offensive line, I want to take a look at their numbers. Pass blocking grades. Connor McGovern, 77, best on the team, then followed by Spencer Brown at a 74, and this is per PFF. Mitch Morse at 55.3. Deion Dawkins at 51.6, and led the team with three pressures allowed. You know, Josh Allen under pressure this year, Jay Spence, versus the Jags. Josh Allen under pressure stats versus the Jags per Anthony from Cover One. He's a great follow. A lot of great advanced numbers and statistics. He was 3 of 12 yesterday for 24 yards, a 4.9 rating with 4 seconds to throw and an interception. So Josh Allen under pressure yesterday was not, you know, that good. Again, he's been in his past not that bad of a quarterback. Jay Spence, how do you think this offensive line performed against Josh Allen and those other guys, Trevon Walker, the former first-round pick?
I think this was the first game of the year where you can look at the offensive line and say, hey, it was a little bit of a struggle. I still don't think that they played horribly. Like, I'm not down on them at all. I think Deion had a rough day. I think Osiris had a rough day. He had a couple holding penalties and some things that we aren't used to seeing from him yet. But I just go back to the point that you just said there. Like, you gave the advanced stats about Josh. It's not the line. The line did their job. But I'm telling you, man, when you get a chance, go back and watch it again. I'm sure you watched it today, yeah. But go back and watch it again and then text me. I don't even want to do it on the pod, but text me, because I know publicly it's tough for us to say Josh didn't play well, but I'm telling you, you said it yourself a little too late. Fourth quarter, Josh was Josh, and I loved him. But quarters 1 through 3, he wasn't, man. So the line played well. I think Josh holding on to the ball will get you sacked or it will cause some holding penalties that they gave up. I also think Josh making some rough decisions will make things, just difficult. When you're blocking and Josh is behind you, the way he moves, you just don't know where he's going, man. He's like a ping pong ball there. So it's really difficult to block for him. And they've done a great job this year. Yesterday was the only game that I felt like, man, they slacked just a tad bit, but I just think it was a rough day. I think everybody, I get the complaints about the travel and the jet lag. I think, you know, there's some truth to people feeling that the Bills kind of were dealt the short deal here, but still in awe, the Bills were in position to win that game with all the injuries, with all the, you know, like they were in position to win. So,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, if you're on YouTube, Twitter, all 24 of you in here, if you could smash the like button, share this, would greatly help the channel in moving forward here. So we're going to move to the rushing attack, Jay Spence. Again, I want to go back to it because I just want to reiterate what's going on here with this offense. Again, I mentioned earlier, 10 total carries from the running backs. James Cook, 5 carries for -4 yards. Harris, 3 for 13. Murray, 2 for 6. The run blocking grades, Osiris Torrance was the best per PFF at 69.5. Deion Dawkins was the worst at 48.5. So don't put too much stock into these PFF grades. Again, they're not 100%, you know, accurate, and there's a lot of nuance and context to these conversations. But Dawkins, again, had a rough day, run blocking and pass blocking, going against Josh Allen, who has 6 sacks on the year and is one of the best defensive ends. So, again, it's expected to be a great battle and a great matchup. But – you know, what do you make of this rushing offense, Jay Spence? You know, top 10 going into the game this week, and you have a game like that. Again, the Jags are very good as a run defense team, very good at it. They've done a great job all year. They held the Chiefs to 17 points. So they're not a bad defense. I think this is kind of solidifying that maybe the Bills fans were doubting what the Jags can do defensively all over the place. So what do you make of this run game, and why do you think it had such a struggle against this Jags front?
Well, I think the run game is fine. Yesterday wasn't fine. So let me start over by saying yesterday was not fine. But overall, I think the run game is fine. For the season so far, one of the reasons why I'm so excited about this team, I know we're 3-2. I know everybody wants us to be 5-0. Listen, it's okay. The Bills are still going to be a good team. We're going to win a division. We're going to be there at the end of the season. But look, this is the first year that we've had Josh Allen as our quarterback where he doesn't have to run the ball. So he's running because he can. He's running because, you know, he has an opening where guys are covered and nobody's paying attention to him, so he runs. But there were times before where Josh had to run for 45 yards and maybe a touchdown to pull the game out. Other than yesterday, James Cook looks like a lead back. Damian Harris looks like a secondary back that can step in as the lead back if James Cook wasn't available. So the run game to me is fine. The offensive line, the run game, they're doing their job. I just think it comes down to yesterday. It was you know, on the other side of the ball, the defensive lineman, Josh Allen, and his teammates, those guys are studs, man. Like, I know the Jacksonville Jaguars kind of came out the gate slow this season, and a lot of us expected them to be a little bit more impressive as a team overall. But they still have key pieces, and they're still good players. And I think a lot of times it just takes – I mean, hell, the Bills are kind of going through it this season where starting off the season, you know we have the pieces. Even with the injuries, you know we have the pieces. But we're 3-2 because we lost two games against teams that we should have beat, and we're just starting off slow. Some things aren't clicking for Josh on those two games, or some things aren't clicking for whatever. So with that being the case, man, the running game – we're fine. Next week, I'm looking for James Cook. I want this to be like really a James Cook day. Like, I want this to be the game where, you know how McCaffrey sometimes, I'm not putting him on the same level as McCaffrey, but you know how sometimes McCaffrey will come out and he has like 80 yards rushing, two touchdowns on the ground, and then he sneaks in a reception for a touchdown in the third or fourth quarter. I want that game for James Cook this week. I'm looking for, like, if you're a betting person, alternative yards, I'm looking for like 125 total for the guy. Like, I think James Cook is going to have a day against the Giants.
Yeah, I'm not worried about James Cook. I think he's a good football player. He's great in space. He has great speed. Mm-hmm. I am a little concerned, though, about him just due to the fact that, again, I think he lacks – and this is just the eye test. I don't know if the, there's no analytics based on this. But this is just me watching the game and what I'm taking in. He's not very physical. He doesn't bring a lot of energy. And I know, like, Nick Chubb's great. He doesn't bring a lot of energy. He kind of runs down the field, and, you know, hopefully he's doing well. Prayers up to him, and hopefully he's healing from that injury. But James Cook is, for me, a good back. He's serviceable. I think, again, in space, he has speed. He has an ability to get, you know, yards after the catch if he is in space. But getting those tough yards, and I know you have Damian Harris and Latavius Murray to do that. But I want to see James Cook. You know, you talk about it. A lot of his yards have come in the fourth quarter this year, late in the games when you're up by a lot. He's been kind of that fourth quarterback that's kind of put the game out of reach. I want to see him start the game with consistent carries to get this offense in a rhythm, get them going on a consistent level so they can move the chains and get this offense to another level. Because, again, I think the rushing offense is there. They've proven that they can do it at a better level. I think it's just starting earlier, getting out of the gates quicker. And again, you had to go away from it because you only had 10 carries and you had absolutely zero running game. Again, getting it going earlier for me is the big thing for this rushing offense moving forward.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah,
I don't know. So
yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you there because, again, you want it to be where during the first half of the game, you're able to control the clock, you're able to move the ball, you're able to keep the other team off that. Like the Miami game was it was just a perfect way for our team to play. We kept them off the field and we were able to move the ball, keep getting first downs. I need to see the same thing out of James Cook. The only place I'm gonna respectfully disagree with you on when it comes to Cook is that I do think that. He's getting those hard yards. You know, I know he gets them in space, you know, when they get him out there, but, you know, he'll run up the middle, man, and he'll get you 6 yards, 7 yards. His yards per carry average is, I think it's north of 6 yards. Maybe not after this game. I got to
look. Well, he only had 5 yards. Carries, so it might not be true. That. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. But I know for the first few games, man, and even last year, I wanted him to get the ball more because his yard per carry average, and it wasn't a fluke. Like, it wasn't one of those things where it's like, you know, you give him the ball and it's like a broken play where he gets it and then, like, they only take him out for two plays. No, he, like, consistently, if he has 10 carries, he's averaging, you know, very well. He's averaging between 5 and 6.5 yards per carry last season. So then you look at it this season and he was over 6 yards per carry. You have to think that it's just who the guy is as a running back. So I'm very invested into James Cook and seeing how he can develop. But your take, I think a lot of people have your take that he's serviceable. He doesn't have the build, the frame to kind of last as a big body, as the number one running back. But we'll see, man. I like him. I'm hoping that he can last and his brother fell off a damn cliff. No.
Yeah, he did. And Breece Hall. And Breece Hall, I mean, and it's also, I think, evident that Breece Hall is like, if he can stay healthy, man, like that dude is special. Like he could be top five running back in football.
easy. In a couple years, I mean, because you're looking at like now we got like the wave of lead backs now are approaching that 29, 30, 31 range. So, I mean, in a couple years, I don't see it being egregious to say that he might be the best back in the league in 3 years.
Yeah.
I could absolutely see that.
Yeah, it's not crazy at all. He was off to a great start before the ACL injury. Mm-hmm. He's right back to where he is at. He looked explosive against Denver. But I want to get to this 12 personnel usage. This has been a big topic of conversation. Sam LaPorta. You know, that's kind of all Bills fans have talked about. Why aren't the Bills using Dalton Kincaid that the Lions are using Sam LaPorta? And I think it's a multitude of factors. I sent out a tweet before this. And I think it's Ken Dorsey. I think it's Josh Allen's willingness and trust in Kincaid. I think it's, you know, Dalton Kincaid hasn't really ran that many routes down the field. You know, he's targeted 18 times this year, 15 or 9 yards or less. You know, Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid have combined for 28 catches, 193 yards and one touchdown. You know, Kincaid's being used as an outlet and Knox just isn't doing that much, pretty quiet and has had some drops, but also, you know, has had some yards after the catch, but again, 11 for 75 and a touchdown for a guy that's getting $13 million a year on average isn't really what do you want to see. What do the Bills need to do to get more production out of these tight ends, Jay Spence? And before you answer again, I want to say the Jags are the best team or one of the best defenses per DVOA against 12 personnel. So this Jags defense does do a good job of taking away the middle of the field. But just talk about 12 personnel. What do you want to see the Bills? I'll ask this. What do you want to see the Bills do with that kind of tight end duo that I think could be dominant moving forward?
No, I agree with you. They can be dominant and they should be dominant. So the first thing is I'm going to agree with Tom in the comments and Gary in the comments. Look, play calling, Dorsey. You could say it 15 times in different languages if you wanted to. Play calling and Dorsey. I need Dorsey to continue to call. I need you to continue to call plays that matter. Like when it comes to the tight ends, you say all summer you've been talking about 12 personnel and how 12 personnel was going to be this and how it was going to be that. And then we don't see it. Like I mentioned earlier, Dawson Knox has 11 receptions on 19 targets for the year. For the year, he has 11 receptions. I believe it's like 75 yards or 74 yards. I don't have Dawson Kincaid's numbers. I don't remember those right now. But when you're paying a guy $52 million, he needs more than 75 yards in five games. It just does. So for me, I need to see Ken Dorsey. I need a game plan that highlights both your tight ends. And Steph is going to be Steph, man. Like he's going to be, Steph is going to be Steph.
Yep.
Davis does what Davis does. So I need you as the offensive coordinator to say, no, right now we absolutely need to get our tight ends involved. We drafted a guy in the first round to get him involved as one of the best. If not, I've been hearing everybody, during that time of year, the draft guys, everybody's Kincaid, he's probably the best pass catcher in this year's draft. He's not the best receiver. He's the best pass catcher. Why are we not throwing passes at him to catch? Like, to me, that's a big question, and I don't understand it. Get him the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you. Again, I think it's a multitude of factors. Dorsey's on that list of factors. Again, I think it goes with game planning and stuff like that and kind of personnel and what they're trying to do. His snap share has decreased. The Bills Chat podcast over at Built in Buffalo put out a tweet today that his snap share has decreased since week one. And again, I think that also has to do with game planning, and the Bills have put up 31 points a game throughout this five-game stretch. So, again, it's not like it's not working, but it has been inconsistent, and that's the issue, I think, with why maybe fans are concerned about these defensive injuries, because is the offense able to be consistent enough on that side of the ball? But with hand-in-hand with kind of where you went with the conversation, Jay Spence, how do you feel about Dorsey through five games? The offense, again, very elite. Statistically, fourth in yards per game, third in points per game. And again, Josh Allen right now is analytically the EPA based, the most, what do I say? the best quarterback in football, the most, you know, consistent quarterback in football right now based on numbers and analytics. So what do you think of Ken Dorsey's performance so far through five games?
If I would total, I would probably give him like a B minus.
Okay.
B minus. And I know those rankings 2 and 5 and 3 and all that. It sounds great. Right. The reason why I'm giving him a B minus is because of week one and yesterday. Week one, there was no, like, there was no, you know what? No, you got to put that on Josh, I guess. I can't put that all on Josh was just horrible week one. And yesterday, so my issue with him yesterday has been something that he's been able to do since week one. So I want to know what happened yesterday. My challenge to Dorsey and McDermott this season was, okay, Daboll's gone again. Like, he's gone.
Yeah.
We need somebody that can get in Josh's ear and actually calm him down. We need somebody that can say, hey, Josh, okay, I get it, dude. I get it. Relax. Woosa, right? Like, just relax. We need that. So for the last 3 weeks prior to this game, Dorsey's been able to kind of get Josh in this space where he's taking what the defense gives him. He's checking down. He's, I think one game, he almost, what do you have, like 86% completion percentage. Just like ridiculous stuff from Josh, man. He had more touchdowns than he had incompletions against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I need Dorsey to get into, because when Josh is comfortable and he's not freaking out and he's not, you know, when he doesn't have happy, and I don't even want to say happy feet, because I don't think Josh gets happy feet. I just think that Josh gets hyped up. He gets amped up. And sometimes he thinks, hey, I'm the GOAT now, damn it. I don't have to wait 10 years to be called the GOAT. I can fit this ball wherever I want to put it. And he'll do it. And then other times it'll be an interception. So you got to take the good with the bad. But my challenge for Dorsey is that, is saying, okay, Josh, we're going to take the good with the bad, but let's try to have a whole lot more good and a whole lot less bad. I'm tired of seeing even the arm punt interceptions. I'm so tired of seeing the arm punts. So like because in the last couple of weeks now, the last 3 weeks, he has 2 interceptions like that with these arm punts that is still like, okay. Everybody wants to say, well, it's just an arm punt. He kicks it. So at the end of the year, when they're doing MVP voting or they're doing all this other stuff, they don't say, oh, well, these 2 interceptions from week 5 and week 3, they don't count because they were arm punts. He really only had the 3 from week 1. And that's not how it works. He has 5 interceptions. I need Josh to have more touchdowns than interceptions every week. I'm just tired of the turnover. So if Dorsey can reel him in and get that taken care of, or if McDermott, I agree with what Tom says. I would love to see Dorsey on the sideline. I get it. He's comfortable in the booth. That's where he kind of started. Get on the sidelines, man. I want to see you in Allen's face the same way I see Daboll in Jones's face when he's doing crazy. Well, Daboll needs to be in Jones's face.
Yeah, but I don't know. I
need you to calm Josh down.
Yeah, I don't know if there's much Daboll can do over in New York. But, yeah, I do agree with you. I think Dorsey's been good this year. Again, he's had his moments. I think Josh has had his moments. Again, the lack of he spoke today. I listened to his press conference, Dorsey's, and, you know, and he says it every week. And I understand, like, there's a lot of mouths to feed on this offense. Obviously, we talk about Diggs and Davis. They had great performances last week. Diggs has statistically been one of the best receivers in football again. Gabe Davis has been a touchdown scorer. Yardage and reception-wise, he hasn't been great. He hasn't really been using the short passing game that well. But again, that big play Gabe, he still is that player. Maybe that's just the player he is at this point. But I thought Dorsey's done a good job. He's shown the ability to run the ball. The offense has been able to run the ball exclusively, not last week, but I think he's done fine. Again, he's talked about it in the press conference all year, basically, that they're going to get Dalton Kincaid involved more. And he's a great route runner, and that he's a great pass catcher and all this stuff, and that they're going to get Deontay Hardy involved more and all this stuff. I understand, and maybe they do, and that happens, but the more weeks that go by where this Stephon Diggs and then kind of figure it out event occurs each week, there's going to be more of an uptick in voices and people calling for Dorsey, and I get it, because he's telling the people and he's telling the media that he's going to get these guys more involved, or will try to, and that's what people are expecting. So again, Dorsey's been okay. I think he's been fine. But again, there's always room for improvement. And that's for everybody. And speaking of room for improvement, we're gonna go to shift to the defense now. Kaiir Elam. It's 2022 first round pick. Start of the year, a healthy scratch 4 times. Yesterday, 8 targets, 6 catches allowed. 93 yards allowed, and a 113 rating allowed. Jay Spence, is it time to worry about Kyir Elam and go even as far as, is he a bust?
I'm not going to go that far. So okay. I think he played horribly. Let me preface this by saying I think he played horribly. But I'm not mad at Kyir Elam about yesterday's game. And I said this on Twitter yesterday, and I got absolutely destroyed. Like, they, Bills Mafia handed me my ass, man. Like, what do you mean you're not mad at him? He was horrible. He got cooked. It was – he did. And you know why he got cooked? Because his first assignment was to go against Calvin Ridley. And I think a lot of times as fans, we have expectations on guys because – they're on our team. So we want them to play as well as we would play with them in Madden, or we, you know, no interceptions or no completions over here. I'm picking that off every time you throw it out here. It's not that way in real life. Kyir Elam had his first real action of the year. You just mentioned that he was a healthy scratch four times. Last season, he was a healthy scratch a bunch of times. I'm not mad that in his first action, he got cooked. Like, I'm not mad about that, but they need to replace him. I don't think he's a bust. I think, you know, they need to give him some more reps. He needs to play. But they need to – I don't think – like I said earlier, I don't think Josh Norman – I know he's on the practice squad. Josh Norman isn't that guy. They need to figure out how to replace Elam. They do.
Yeah, I think Norman's going to be a practice squad guy. I don't think it's anything more than that. I think he's just depth in case, you know, something catastrophic happens. Again, Benford dealing with a shoulder. Dane Jackson has had injuries in his career, just like most NFL players. But injuries happen, so – Jamarcus Ingram and Kyir Elam, you probably want some insurance, even if it's a Josh Norman, who, again, he probably didn't cost much. You get him on the practice squad, you bring him in. He has experience. He's played under McDermott. So that's that. But again, with Elam, Jay Spence, I agree. I don't think he is a bust in terms of talent and what he, you know, what he can do on a football field. But for what the Bills do, and again, it boggles my mind, and maybe we'll never know the answer to this, why they went up and traded. Bean said he was the last first round grade on their board, and I think Trent McDuffie going off the board scared them a little bit. I think he was probably their target, one of the best corners in the league right now, playing one of his best ball at Kansas City. Kyir Elam to me is a good football player. Maybe he finds it somewhere else, but I just, again, a healthy scratch for first four games, lost the job to Benford and Jackson in a year where people thought, were proclamating that Elam was going to start opposite Trey White and this was going to be this great secondary. I just don't know. He lost the job to Benford now, back-to-back years. Dane Jackson, again, played well, I thought. He was flying around, made tackles. So, again, I think Kyir Elam in a different scheme, in a different system, in a different team, he could play well. But what the Bills are asking him to do, it's clearly not working. And in practice, it's not working. So that's the only, like – They have to replace him. Jay Spence, you're right. They do.
He could have gone somewhere. If he would have gone somewhere like New England, and I'm not putting this into the atmosphere now for them to, I don't want New England to get him, but you know, like he would do well with somewhere like New England. You know, but we need something a little bit different. And like I said, I'm not going to go as far out on a limb to say he's a bust. I don't think he's a bust. I think he's talented. We saw the kid can play. That's why he got drafted where he was drafted. He can play football. He's very smart. I think I'm agreeing with you. I think that what they're asking him to do just is not working, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm trying to say it the politically correct way because I don't want to dog him at all. Like, I love him as a player and as a person. Yeah. I think he's a great guy, but it's just not working.
And yeah, to your point, Jay Spence, like the guy, like, and again, I'm not discrediting him either. He works his tail off, like just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. He's a very hard worker. He wants to be great. He's exuded confidence in multiple podcasts I've listened to with him on it, saying that he wants to prove that he's a top corner in this league. And it's just, again, it's just not working, straight and simple. Before I get to this last question here, I want to talk about one more guy and then we can get out of here. AJ Epenesa. I mean, what a game from AJ Epenesa. Obviously the game ball, just absolutely dominant performance from him. Two sacks, multiple batted down balls, a forced fumble. Thoughts on his performance? And then if you want to continue with that kind of thing, your thoughts on this overall defensive line. And this is kind of my point, Jay Spence, about this defense and why they can still be so elite is because of this defensive line and the depth they have.
Yeah. First of all, I owe AJ Epenesa the hugest apology that anybody could offer any player. Like, I thought AJ Epenesa was a bust. Like the way people are talking about Elam now, I thought AJ Epenesa was a bust because for the last 3 years, everybody that covers the Bills has been telling me AJ Epenesa is going to have a breakout year. AJ Epenesa is going to be a great player. He's going to be the every year. Am I right? Like, yeah. Do you remember that for the last year? Yeah.
He was Jay Spence. He's been a practice player. Like, he's been good at camp, and then it just doesn't translate. It might be translated.
Zero. It doesn't translate. Yeah. So I'm like, man, I'm done with AJ Epenesa. Going into the season, I'm like, y'all need to trade him. See if y'all can get a fifth round pick or something. Like, get rid of this guy. Listen, I am wrong. He came out this year on fire. This dude, he and Terrell Bernard have made me look like the biggest idiot of idiots in sports podcasting content creation in Buffalo. Because I was so in love with Tremaine Edmonds. So I'm like, nope. I don't like Benford. Then I'm saying, nope, get rid of him. I don't want AJ Epenesa. He's a bum. Get rid of him. And now this guy's coming out and he's out here playing like I don't even know what defense. He's playing like prime Bruce at moments, man. Like, what are we doing? I love him. AJ, salute to you, boss. You're a boss. He's a boss. I love AJ Epenesa. I love him. I might buy a jersey this weekend.
Yeah, it was something again, like situational football for this defense, like key red zone turnovers. They allowed over 400 yards, but they still found ways to keep the offense in the game, and the offense just couldn't do anything. But I want to get to this question from my dad. Do we go on a run of 6-0 beating the Giants, Bucks, Broncos, and Jets at home with road wins against the Pats and Bengals? Jay Spence, you can start and then I'll kind of
First of all, can I say I'm an idiot? Like, this whole time, I'm like, shout out to Chris. Yeah, shout out to Tom. I didn't even pay attention to the last name, so I didn't even notice that this was family. Hey, Dad, who's Tom? What family?
Uncle Tom.
Hey, Uncle Tom and Dad, shout out to you guys. I appreciate. Like, I'm sitting here the whole time. Okay, but so I do think so. You know what? It's tough because I thought the Bills were going to beat the Jaguars. You know, so the way I had this season going, I did predict that we were going to lose to the Jets, but then I thought the Bills were going to go on a run until we got to the Bengals. I didn't say we were going to lose, but I felt like we were going to win every game up until that point, and it was going to be a big game to talk about. But at this point, if we lose to the Giants, I'd be disappointed. If we don't beat the Giants by two touchdowns, I'll be disappointed. The Bucks, I don't like Baker Mayfield. We should destroy them. The Broncos, come on. And then the Jets, man, I want my lick back. Like, real talk. The way they embarrassed us in New Jersey, man. Like, I was out at that game, and Aaron Rodgers goes down on the first drive. So you mean we prepared for a better quarterback that would have had the offense look so much better, and then we get Zach Wilson, and we lose to Zach Wilson? Are you kidding me? So, no, I want my lick back against them Jets. And then the Pats, look, they need a quarterback. They need an offensive line. They need two wide receivers. They probably need a new tight end as well. I like Hunter Henry, but they probably need another tight end. They got J.C. Jackson back. Thank you for that, because Stephon Diggs eats like Thanksgiving dinner every time J.C. Jackson is on the field. So, no, I'm good. So Dad, Chris, we're definitely going 6-0.
Yeah, I could see it. I think they do drop one just because it's the NFL. I think you look, I mean, the Buccaneers are a frisky team. Do they lose that game? Probably not. It's a primetime game. But there's games. I think they beat the Giants. All right, here, I'll say this. They should beat the Giants, Bucks, Broncos, Jets, and Pats. The Bengals, for me, again, it depends what level they're playing at. They kind of found their rhythm against the Cardinals, I think, this past week. I know it's the Cardinals, and I know it's not, you know, a team that's very talented, but again, they found ways to stay in games. They blew a lead to the Giants. They beat the Cowboys. So they haven't been downright awful, you know, as bad as people thought they would be. Josh Dobbs has been, you know, a frisky quarterback. So I think the Bills at minimum go 5-1, move to 8-3, and everyone's happy again.
Yeah, no, I could see that. As far as the Cardinals, so I was at the game yesterday. Shout out to my Cardinals. I'd feel bad to even claim them. I don't think that the Bengals, at least from what I didn't get a chance to rewatch it. So watching on TV is so different, as you know, than being at the game. I just feel like from what I saw, Joe Burrow was a one read quarterback yesterday, and they didn't stop it. Like, they didn't even try to stop it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and to me, he still looks very injured. He's not able to move around much. A shin injury or whatever it is?
Calf, yeah.
The calf is still bothering him. You can tell. So, for their sake, hopefully he's better by the time they face the Bills. But I'm still not sold on them this year, man. I think that they're, it's one thing to start off slow. It's another thing to hurt yourself. Like, you're shooting yourself in the foot by playing your quarterback while he's injured and he's not being helpful. So, you know, we'll see. But I don't know. I think by that time of year, man, even if they do get healthy and then start winning some games, they might even be out of, because, you know, you drop four or five too early. Those tough games at the end of the season, man, the Chiefs game, the Bills game, they got a couple tough games late. You lose one game if you lost five or six early. That could put you right out of playoff contention. So I don't know. And they got a tough division this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild ride for the Bengals again. They have the Seahawks coming up. Then they hit the bye week, and then they go Niners-Bills. So they've yet to really beat a contender. But the Bengals, for me, the Seahawks are going to be a test. They're not great, but they're good. So, like, that's going to be a good matchup. And then the Niners have just been absolutely amazing. And then, you know, they have the bye week in between that. So, Burrow gets some rest. I think the Bengals will be a better team when the Bills play them later in the year. Yeah. But Jay Spence, thank you for coming on. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing, your show, and a little bit about you and what you do for the Bills Mafia in this community.
Oh, man. So first, I'm going to say thank you to you again for inviting me back on the show. I'm not going to take it right now, but I want everybody to see. I got a shot from my dog right here. My man AJ's birthday is right around the corner here. So I'm going to take a birthday shot for him when we get off the air. So I wanted to say that. And then tonight, right after this, if you're hanging around, hang out for Off Tackle. Joe Miller can't do it, so I'm going to be filling in for Joe Miller and John Fina. So we'll be having an Off Tackle. Then tomorrow, the Chop Up, and then Wednesday, the Hump Day Hotline, and then Thursday. So every day, just look for me. I got some articles, or I got a live show going on. And, you know, Buffalo Rumblings, man. Go follow Buffalo Rumblings on all platforms. Follow my man AJ, man. You're doing a fantastic – I'm saying this publicly now for the first time. I've said it to you, and I've said it to leadership in Buffalo Rumblings and then to other people. Actually, I think I tweeted it too. I just want you to know, man, I am so proud of everything you've done since you've joined this network. You have been by far my best signing. And I'm not saying that, like, I love you guys over at Mafia Cast. I love you. I love Jeremy Poyer. I love Sarah. When I tell you that you are the most tuned in, like, I know where you want to go, and I can see you getting there. Man, I'm so proud of you. Keep doing it. Keep killing. Do your thing. You got all of our support over at Buffalo Rumblings, man. Thank you so much for doing everything that you're doing. Keep it up.
I appreciate that. That's very, very kind words from a great person that I look up to, that I've followed along, you know, when I was kind of like in my teen years. When you're at Fanatics, I kind of saw you, and you were one of those people that I've seen around, and I know you've also been in tune as well. So I greatly appreciate that. But again, Jay Spence, AJ Cebulski here with another episode of Ages Analysis. Please like, share. If you're listening on audio, I greatly appreciate it. It was a great, great conversation today, back and forth. We didn't agree on everything, which again, I think is great, because I love kind of the disagreements. That's what makes, you know, podcasts kind of awesome, is people always don't have the same perspective or think the same. So again, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bills Giants should be a Bills bloodbath. Hopefully they can take care of those Giants. If they don't, it's going to be a tough conversation on Monday. See you later. All right. And have a good one.
Go Bills.